Now, I have been told by Danny Johnson that at some point in 2009, Pete Huber was going through a box of tapes of Joker's Wild, and in that box of tapes, he located a tape of the 19th Amendment playing live on November 15th, a Wednesday night, in 1967. And Danny Johnson has remastered that tape and made a CD out of it. Would you mind going through the list of songs on there and tell us who did the versions that you covered on that?
6, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, of course, was Wilson Pickett. Get Ready, The Temptations. Then the old standard Louie Louie was the Kingsman, of course. And Hold On, I'm Coming, Sam and Dave. I'm trying to remember, somebody help me, who did that. I want to say Spencer Davis. And Come On Up was the young Rascals. Give Me Some Lovin'. And
that's Spencer Davis as well.
Yep, and Keep On Running, Spencer Davis. And Think, I Can't Remember.
Okay.
I can't remember who did that. But, you know, we did some Supremes, some Kinks. Jerry and the Pacemakers, Don't Let the Sun Catch You Crying, I remember that. Martha and the Vandellas.
Heat Wave.
You know.
I see Run, Run, Run is on this list. Is that the Gestures from Mankato?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think it's the Gestures.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. You know, Bobby Blue Bland, Turn On the Love Light, Mickey's Monkey, you know, It Takes Two, Marvin Gaye. That was done with the group that was with Sue Hubbell, Linda Knutson, and Sue Green, and myself.
Do you have any idea where that concert took place?
It was a club, and I can't tell you. I can see it, but I can't tell you the name of it.
Do you have any idea who recorded that?
Yes, I know who did it, but I can't think of his name either. I could see him, I can't think of his name. He was just a fan that decided to bring all his equipment in and tape the band.
Were you even aware of that tape existing?
Yes, and I didn't know what happened to it. And when Pete came across it, I went, well, how did he get a hold of that? But, yeah, no, I knew it was done. I just didn't know where it was.
Were there more changes in the band members?
Sue Green left the band, Sue Hubbell left the band, and Linda Knutson left the band in 67.
So that was obviously after that
concert. That was it. There was no band. There was no 19th Amendment but me.
At the end of 1967.
Right.
And when did the band start up again, and who was in it?
Judy was a roommate of mine from when we moved up there. I talked her into playing drums. I'm not sure how we met Jan Eglin, but she played keyboards and she sang, so she was basically the main lead singer. And Kathy Whitey Johnson, we called her Whitey because her hair was white, she learned how to play bass. She's a darn good bass player, actually.
And who took over on keyboards?
That would be Jan Eglin. She played keyboards and sang lead.
And Judy's last name was what?
Cottrell, C-O-T-T-R-E-L-L.
And you got going in what time period did you get the band restarted?
68. Right at, I mean, we were already, 67, we were already trying to get it together, but 68 is when we started playing again.
Okay, so now in this new lineup with Susie Morick, Jan Eglin, Kathy Johnson, and Judy Cottrell, who's doing the lead vocals now?
That's Jan. Jan was doing most of them.
And yourself as well?
No, well, I did a few, but I'm mostly the lead guitar player and backup vocals.
What was the next change in the band members, and what time frame was that?
Okay, in 1969, and I don't know, you know, exactly what month or whatever, Jan Eglin left the band. Actually, she married Lonnie Knight, and she left the band. And then we found Jackie Balzer for keyboards,
mm-hmm.
and Gail Young joined the band from The Looking Glass and sang vocals.
I understand David Wachter booked the band in Canada. What's the story on that?
He booked us around Christmas time in Canada, which was probably not the best thing to ever happen because it's darn cold up there. But it was in Saskatchewan, I believe, and it was cold. We drove the van up there. Apparently it wasn't winterized enough, and it froze up. In order to get to the gig, and I think this was an armory or something, too, we had to rent another van and we pulled this our van into this nice man had a garage, and he let us pull it into the garage and leave it there. And then they came and we rented a vehicle, and it froze up. So I think we did play the gig, as I recall, we did play a gig, but it was the band froze up again, and it's like So we, Whitey and I, got our guitars, and we said, we're going home, and we're going on the bus. And Gail and Jackie and Judy said, yep, we're going home. We got on the bus, we went home, and we sent the boyfriends and the band boys up to get the vehicle with the rest of the equipment locked in this guy's garage.
So you had other jobs that were booked that you weren't able to...
We couldn't get to them. I mean, it was so cold, it was stupid.
Do you remember how cold it was?
Cold.
Below zero?
Cold.
Freezing?
Cold. Very cold. Below zero cold, yes.
Freezing cold?
Freezing below zero cold.
Now, I've also heard that David Wachter booked the band in Montana. Is that correct?
Yep.
What do you recall about Montana?
That was I think that was one of the highlights, really, for the 19th Amendment, this venue, because we had so much fun, and, I mean, we played Helena, we played Butte, we played Bozeman, we played Kalispell. Gosh, I can't even remember. We took a drive through Glacier National Park in between gigs, and I remember it was just the most awesome thing I ever saw, and the mountains were purple, and I was just, like, in awe. And Whitey was on the floorboard because she was so scared. So, yeah, but we played all kinds of gigs. We played colleges and stuff. And they had this big, huge marquee that had the 19th Amendment, and it was so awesome, and they just loved us. They just loved us.
Did the band ever play with any national acts?
Yeah. Actually, the Exotics, early 19th Amendment, did a state fair thing with Bob Seger's System. We played, and then they came out and blew everybody away, you know, with their rambling, gambling man. But then later on, you know, we played with the Grassroots and the New Colony 6, and that was at the State Fair. And then the band opened for the Box Tops at Lake Marion Ballroom in Hutchinson.
What do you recall about the outdoor love-in concerts at Loring Park and the West Bank?
Could we go back to that time? Wouldn't that be cool?
Well,
I think that would be so cool, because everybody was nice and everybody didn't fight and nobody, you know, it was a great time. The bands were great. You didn't have to pay anything to see anybody. You could get up and jam with anybody you wanted to. Everybody was, you know, imbibing on certain things that are legal in Colorado now.
Were there multiple bands that played at those?
Oh, yeah. It was great.
Do you recall some of the bands you played with at those?
You know, I can't remember them all. I don't, you know. It was kind of a hazy time, you know?
Hazy?
Hazy, like in smoke. Hazy?
H-A-Z-Y?
Hazy, you know what I mean.
He's slow, Susie, he's slow. I'm old.
We're talking smoke, okay? We're talking with a lot of smoke there.
Was there a change in the band's material in the late 1960s?
Oh, yeah. We were, you know, we kind of deviated from the Beatles and stuff in the early days, you know, to album cuts and stuff, rather than, you know, not some of the hits on the radio, you know, the British stuff, whatever, like I'm going to say No Time by the Guess Who, that kind of stuff. We did that kind of stuff, but we also did a lot of album cuts, like by Zeppelin and Spirit, Janis Joplin, The Faces. Yeah, we kind of changed up our venue.
Now, I've heard from somebody who used to play with Joker's Wild that the 19th Amendment actually shared a house with Joker's Wild.
That is correct.
Where was that located?
That was on Fremont Avenue in North Minneapolis. They lived downstairs, we lived upstairs.
How was it living in close proximity to Joker's Wild?
Oh, it was cool. I've actually got pictures of them building amplifiers downstairs. And we, you know, we collaborate and everybody be practicing in the same house. I mean, it was kind of fun.
Did the band do any recording?
Yeah, we recorded You Better Change, which is an original that I wrote. I guess it's Audiotech Recording in Minneapolis on West Broadway, but I can't swear to that because I don't remember the name of it. And then we did a bunch of cover tunes. And that was a recording studio, Nickel Lake Records. And Dave and Anthony paid for that stuff. So, you know, they turned out good. I mean, although you can hear the drums now sound like cardboard boxes to me, you know. And, you know, the band, the lead guitar is kind of jammed in there and brought back down or whatever. So, but that was early recordings, and that's the way it was.
Do you recall the names of the songs you recorded at the basement studio?
Sure. That was On the Way Home, Buffalo Springfield, C.C. Ryder, Mitch Ryder, and Detroit Wheels, Lucille, Little Richard, and Birthday of the Beatles.
Now, were you aware of any other all-female rock bands that were from Minnesota at that time period?
You know, there was the Continental Coettes, but I don't remember them very well, and I think we were there first. The Exotics were there before the Continental Coettes.
And they were from where?
Austin, maybe?
Austin, Minnesota, Southern Minnesota.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure about that, though, if it was Austin or if it was someplace farther to the west, as I'm remembering in my mind anyways, but we'll say Austin.
Denny Johnson and I have seen a very short video clip, it's only like 10 seconds long, of an all-female band performing live in what looks to be from the 1960s era. The band members are wearing Palomino-style skirts and ruffled blouses. Is there any chance the band could be the Exotics or the 19th Amendment?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
So being an all-female band, do you feel you were treated the same as the bands with all male members from a business perspective?
No, we weren't.
Do you feel you were treated unfairly at times or...
No, I mean, you know, we were girls. They were guys. The guys dominated the music scene, you know. We were girls, and I don't think that a lot of the people wouldn't, you know, think that we were good enough musicians, maybe. I don't know.
So
I don't care, either.
But, I mean, are you saying you weren't hired for certain jobs?
Well, we were hired, but not in the big venues in Minneapolis. It took a long time for us to get into those.
But you were... paid the same, right, as...
I have no idea. I doubt it, but I have no idea because I don't know what the other guys were paid.
Do you recall the final job the band played?
Yep, that was at CC Tap on Lindale in Minneapolis.
How did you feel after the very final job?
I mean, we were so broke, and we didn't make enough money. I mean, we were not making enough money playing the little clubs in Minneapolis and in that area to hardly pay rent and buy food. So that was the main reason why we just couldn't keep going, because we couldn't pay. So we had to go out and get, you know, some kind of job that would pay the rent.
Have there been any reunion projects with the 19th Amendment?
Oh, yeah. August 2008, we all got together here in Colorado. We recorded a song in my studio in Aurora, Colorado, and it's called So Long Ago, and it was about the band. And the whole band was able to practice ahead of time because I sent them CDs to practice to. We recorded it, and we had an absolute blast.
Who showed up for that recording session?
That would be Gail Young, Jackie Balzer, tie-in now, and Judy Cottrell Enberg now, and Kathy Johnson.
By the way, when did you move to Colorado?
I moved there in 72.
And anything after that CD?
We got together again this last October 2013. Jackie and Judy couldn't make it. We tried and tried to coordinate dates and dates, and they just couldn't make it. So airfare was already booked and everything. So Whitey came in, and we sat down, and we were going to record Where's the Time Gone? And I'd already written another one called Over 5 Years, and we just sat down and jammed it and put that one together, too, and recorded both songs.
And that was October 2013?
Yep.
And that's your own studio, right? Studio
yes.
S is your
yes.
studio?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what are you doing now as far as music goes?
I'm actually retired from working. I take care of my elderly parent, mother. I have two dogs. I have my studio, and so when I get a moment, I'll go out and I'll write stuff. I've got one song finished on the board, and I've got another one I just wrote that's got the drums on it only. And so I just continue to try to write songs. I really hope that I can, in my lifetime, do another album, complete album. But, you know, it's like finding the time to do it, you know.
Do you stay in touch with any of the band members?
Oh, yeah. All of them. Not now. Not the early ones anymore. I was in touch with Carol Moe for quite a while there. Her parents both passed away here recently, and, you know, I don't know what to tell you. She's not on Facebook anymore, so I don't talk to her. And Sue Green actually lives out here, and I haven't talked to her in years because she's doing her own thing.
And Gail Young lives out there, right?
Yeah, Gail lives out here, yeah. Oh, yeah, I talk to Gail a lot. I mean, she comes by and visits, and we actually had dinner over Labor Day weekend. And Whitey comes out, and we call each other on our birthdays or whatever and send cards, and I believe Jackie and Denny are going to come out to Colorado here sometime in the near future because he just retired, so now everybody's retired now except Gail.
When you look back at your time in the Exotics and the 19th Amendment, is there a special memory that you have from that time period? Anything in particular that stands out as a special memory? You mentioned Montana.
Well, Montana was great. I mean, the Marquee was so awesome. That was just really cool. I can tell you that when we went to Montana, it was my birthday. And I will always remember everybody. We were taking a break, or maybe we'd finished the gig. Could be finished the gig, I'm guessing. And everybody was sitting outside in the van, and they sang happy birthday to me. And they all sang so off-key. It was just hilarious. And I remember that, and I won't forget that.
Did you snap a photo of that marquee in Montana with the band name on it?
You know, I don't think I have one, but somebody might.
Okay.
I could ask Jackie. She might.
So you'd put that trip to Montana up there as sort
of... That was really cool. Yeah, that was really cool.
That would sort of be your highlight for the band?
Yeah, and I enjoyed playing Mr. Lucky's. That was kind of cool. I remember we played Mr. Lucky's, and it was Wagner Music put on the venue, and that was the first time we ever got to play the Lucky side because we'd always play the Magoo side.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember playing Lucky's, and that was kind of a thrill because, you know, to get into Mr. Lucky's was like, well, we finally got to play in one of these cool places, you know. So we did that, and I do remember, though, walking outside. And there was a doorman there, police guy. And he said to me, is that your van? And I said, yeah. And he said, is that your equipment in that van? I said, yeah. Because, you know, they furnished the equipment. And he said, is that your dog in the van? I said, yeah, that's Spooky. He said, boy, these guys tried to break in that van, and that dog hit that window, and they were asshole and elbow down the road. And I remember that. So that's kind of fun.
Your dog was named Spooky.
After the Classics 4 song, I picked her up and it came on the radio, and that was her name.
Susie, thank you for taking the time today to share with us the story of your time in the Exotics and the 19th Amendment.
You're certainly welcome, and if there's anything wrong, I'm sure somebody will let me know, won't they?
Of course. The preceding interview was recorded on October 5th, 2014 at Sunrise Sound in Rogers, Minnesota, and was produced by Danny Johnson and Tom Campbell. The copyright owner of this interview is MiniPaulMusic.com.